Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
All righty, we're about to chat with Denton Day. We'll go behind enemy lines, 106.7 The Fan in D.C. And, of course, we got pregame 9 a.m. tomorrow. Brian Broaddus and myself, Zach Wolchuk, will have that for you here in your home of Dallas Cowboys football. It's a Christmas Day football slate that we had high hopes for. But certainly right now we're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to be watching? But we'll be watching.
I kind of felt like this when the schedule came out, we were going through them. I really did believe that this was going to be a winner. Whoever win this game was going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This was going to be one of those kind of nip and tuck seasons. And, you know, it was going to come down to a Christmas Day matchup there in you know, with the Commanders, and if it could, you know, whoever won that game was going to be in the playoffs. Mm. Unfortunately, the seasons I think have been a little harder for the Commanders. I think the expectations for them were super
yes,
high after how well they played last year.
Well, I know my guy Denton Day's been going through it. Denton, welcome in. Honored to talk with you, bro. You know I'm a big fan of your work and some of your videos. I mean, I can just see it on your face. It's much like me in a post-game show here. It's like, what the heck is going on? It just gets bad to worse. What's the feeling right now in Washington as we get ready for a game we all had high hopes for in the beginning of the season?
It's awful, fellas. The vibes are not great. Nobody really wants to watch this game. You know, I tweeted this a couple of weeks ago. Every time I feel like the season cannot get worse, it finds a way to get worse. And I tweeted that after Zach Ertz looked like he tore his ACL. And I was like, well, surely this is as low as it's going to get.
Yeah.
And now I have to watch Josh Johnson start on Christmas. I mean, how deep does the bag of pain go? I'm finding out this year. It's been brutal.
So how long do you think they're going to rock with Josh Johnson? I mean, granted, Josh Johnson could light it up. The Cowboys defense is letting everybody have their career day. So it's possible Josh Johnson looks like a capable NFL quarterback, Denton. But do they just hate Sam Hartman? Like, do they not want to play him? What's going on with Jeff Driscoll? Well, what could happen at quarterback tomorrow?
So first and foremost, Sam Hartman is a professional best friend. That's what he is. Yeah. He's really good friends with Jane Daniels, and that has got him a job on the practice squad for the last 2 years. He's not all that great a quarterback. We saw him in the preseason, and he was awful. As far as Josh Johnson is concerned, fellas, I found this out last week, and I thought the graphic on Fox was wrong. Because Josh Johnson's like 40, right? He's been in the NFL for almost 20 years. Prior to coming into the game last week, at the end of it, he didn't even have 2,300 career passing yards.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is a guy in the league this long if he doesn't have over 2,300 career passing yards? So if Dallas's defense finds a way to make him look like a competent quarterback, I would be stunned.
Yeah, no, you get ready to get stunned because Dallas will make him look like he's the FedEx Air recipient of the week.
It's been that bad for us.
Get ready. Listen, no pass rush, full complement of receivers this time around. You might have a happy post game when this thing's all said and done.
God, it's going to be two teams. I can't get after the passer then. There's going to be so much time for the quarterback to just sit there all afternoon.
There'll be two muddling offense and defensive lines, just like it's like a pillow fight in there.
So year two under Dan Quinn, you know, defensively, we obviously, he had a great track record and a lot of success here in Dallas. But what's been wrong with the defense this year outside of just the injuries?
So it's been the injuries, but it's more so been they've taken this approach, and they did it last year, and it made sense because the Ron Rivera era was not good from a roster building standpoint. Yeah. So you had to completely flip that roster and bring in a bunch of new talent. And in doing so, they signed what I call mercenary deals, which is a bunch of 1-year contracts, kind of prove it deals, in the hopes that maybe they become something. And in 2024, you had Bobby Wagner as an all-pro. You had Zach Ertz turn the clock back a little bit. I mean, they signed Frankie Louvu to a multi-year deal, but he was one of the only ones. Your guys' former player, Dorrance Armstrong, was another one. But outside of that, it was a lot of 1-year deals. So in the 2025 offseason, I thought, well, surely they're not going to do that again. Like, they have so much money to spend. There's a lot of guys that are capable on defense hitting the free agency market, which at the pass rushing spot, you don't really see a lot of, right? Like, a great pass rusher is normally not really available. You know, the Parsons thing withstanding, they don't normally become available. They just didn't spend money, and they did the mercenary deal again. Mm. And when you saw last year that you didn't have a pass rush, and your big pass rush splash was Dietrich Wise on a 1-year deal, it's really hard to get excited about. So even if Dan Quinn was just in his absolute defensive coaching bag, doing everything, all the good things he could possibly do, you're still working with a really limited group on defense and guys that are getting older. And you can have the best football IQ in the world, but man, some of these dudes in the NFL are really fast. So you could know where you're going and you still can't catch them. And we've seen a lot of that this year. And I feel like that's been the biggest problem. They just don't have speed on defense. And that's been a very big Achilles heel for them.
You know, they lost Dorrance Armstrong. I think it was in the Week 7 game against the Cowboys. It seemed like the metrics and all that, the eyeball test, that things were very positive, you know, when it came to, you know, rushing the passer. It was his injury really that, or is it just like you're talking about, there's just so many other factors involved?
I mean, he was great. You know, he had played really well in the postseason, in the game against Tampa and the game against Detroit. He made some really crucial plays on third downs and fourth downs. Back in, he sacked Jared Goff and forced a fumble in a really key spot where they were in the red zone looking to tie the game up. So, and then he just kind of started 2025 picking right up.
Right.
And he was really one of the only guys that did that, you know, because the offseason, as you guys know, was so weird, but he was alone. And that was the problem.
Okay.
Again, like, the Dietrich Wise signing was not great. And, you know, Von Miller statistically has looked pretty good, but he's also looked like a 36-year-old, you know, playing defensive end. And there's just some of the natural ability that's not there anymore. And that's their problem. They don't have any young guys. So even like with the acquisition of Von Miller, you think, oh, well, he can teach somebody and then maybe that person can take over in 2026. There's no bridge. There is a bridge, but there's just nobody standing on the other side of that bridge.
You know, on the offensive side of the ball, I wanted to ask you this because I get in discussions with folks all the time and they're talking about Cliff Kingsbury and they say at heart, Cliff wants to run the ball. That, like, he is a run first guy. You're around this team all the time. Are they a run-first offense, or do they want to be a run-first offense, or is that just a bunch of crap?
They are liars about what they want to be, or at least they have been for a majority of the time where Jaden was playing. I think they're best when they're a run-first team.
Right.
The problem is they get away from that really quickly, and Cliff gets away from that really quickly. I think there was the narrative entering this year, and don't get it twisted, I very much participated in this narrative that because of 2024, Jaden was a top level, you know, top five quarterback. But I think Cliff got a little bit leaned too much into that. Jaden's at his best when he has a full operation, the way that every quarterback is, right? And, you know, I think the offensive line, they're a good run blocking group.
They are.
And
for
whatever the reason is, they just shy away from it, you know, way too quickly. And, you know, when Jaden came back after the first injury, his like first five of his first six plays were passing.
Yeah.
And that's not a good way to get a quarterback. And naturally, it was a three and out on both of those drives. That's not a good way to get a quarterback into rhythm. It just felt like the offense was never totally in rhythm this year. And I think a large part of that is because they were a run team one week and then a passing team the next week, and there was never really any consistency.
Then Day with us here on The Fan. When it comes to Jaden Daniels, is there just the RG3 PTSD? Is that firing up right now?
Yeah, maybe by there's a certain majority of the fan base, a certain population of the fan base that I think definitely feels that way. But for those of us that are in the know, I mean, look, man, the Robert thing didn't work for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons is because Robert is Robert. And I don't know if you guys are aware of what he is or if you follow him on Twitter. But like,
oh, yeah.
Robert loves himself some Robert, right? And
he's
led to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And that's what led to the downfall here in D.C. And, you know, fortunately, Jaden is not bad. This season has not been good. I think he's done some good things when he's played and when he's been healthy and when everybody around him has played and been healthy. But this season has just not been good. But I sit here in December being like, all right, I know he is at least going to handle it well. And he will handle the offseason well and heading into 2026 well. And he's not going to do massive press tours and leak things to the media. Like, he just doesn't do that the way that Robert did. And it's not him versus the organization. He's working with the organization, or as far as Robert was concerned, him and the owner versus the coaching staff and the people that were hired to do the football thing. And that doesn't exist anymore. So I sleep well at night knowing that that's not a problem.
Have they been able to resurrect Treylon Burks' career?
Kind of. Isn't that crazy to say out loud?
Yeah, weird.
I remember watching him at Arkansas, and I was like, this guy's a really good player. And
then, I thought so,
too. The Tennessee situation just never worked out. But, I mean, he's made some really good play. I mean, obviously that catch on Sunday Night Football is the one that people are going to think about, and they should. But he's been available. And, you know, we've talked a lot at length about what the receiver room is going to look like next year. You know, Terry's going to be back. We don't know for sure about Debo. And we know that they want to get another, you know, solidified number two wide receiver that's not more of a special teams guy, the way that Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane have been, although those guys are really good on special teams. But Treylon Burks has been good, man. If he's wide receiver three next year, I feel pretty comfortable with that. I think he does some really good things. He runs really good routes, like way better routes than Noah Brown runs. So I like what I've seen from Treylon Burks.
Yeah, we knew that about Noah Brown. You might want to put a 75 number on him and let him, like, be some
block his rear off.
Lead blocker, you know, kind of a situation.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great blocker.
Yeah.
The routes are tough, and the availability is even worse.
Yeah.
So what are your expectations for the game tomorrow?
Bad at the over. You know, we're gambling folks, right? I would bet there's probably not enough. Well, so here's the problem. There's not a number that I wouldn't put it past the Commanders' defense. The problem is I have no idea what Josh Johnson is as a quarterback in the year of our Lord 2025.
Yeah.
And because of that, I would bet the Dallas Cowboy team total over. That's what I'd be hammering.
Okay.
Wow, I like that. All right, listen, I listen to you. I love your college football stuff, by the way.
SiriusXM.
I take my 86-year-old father to church every morning, and I listen to you on Sirius driving to church. And I
appreciate it.
I love it how you navigate that. So far, thoughts on what you've seen, and what do you feel like is going to potentially happen as we go forward in the playoff? How do you see this thing playing out?
I think this weekend, or this week rather, because the games are during the week, I think this is going to be one of the more exciting weeks of the college football playoff that we have seen, because I feel like at the very least, a lot of these games will be competitive. We knew that the, you know, Tulane and Ole Miss game was not going to be competitive. We knew that Oregon and James Madison was not really going to be competitive. But I think there's a lot of teams that are still playing that can win a championship. And last year, I didn't feel that way in the 12-team format.
Mm.
I really like this Indiana team. I think they're really strong. But the best game is going to be Texas Tech and Oregon, because those are two teams that can do everything. They can play offense. They can play defense. And I keep going back to this, you know, this number for Texas Tech. every game they've won by 21.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty insane thing. Like, you know, that's not going to stay the course if they do end up winning a championship. So they're going to get pushed a little bit, but I'm excited to see how they respond with Baron Morton at quarterback if Oregon does punch them in the mouth first. So I think that's going to be the game of round number two for sure.
So I married into a Tech family, so I've been all Red Raider. We got to go to the Big 12 championship game. Do you like their chances to beat Oregon? My concern is the quarterback, Baron Morton. They haven't lost with him starting, but I think there's times in the red zone offense. I'm not sure on this stage, can he be the guy?
Yeah, the red zone. I'm glad you mentioned the red zone offense, because that was exactly what I was going to say. As high powered of an offense as they are, their red zone numbers are astronomically low. Mm-hmm. You know, they should have beat BYU by 60 both times they played them, and they just couldn't convert in the red zone. You have to do that against Oregon, because Oregon showed, granted, against James Madison, but they can put up points with anybody. So I think Baron Morton's going to have to play the best game of his career to this point. I think they can hang. I do not think they will hang. I think Oregon is going to beat them. I think Oregon has a really good shot at winning this thing, fellas. Yeah. I think Dante Moore is a really great quarterback. So I really like Oregon. But Baron Morton's going to have to play the game of his life. And if he does, I think they'll be in a position where they can win.
Yeah, when I was listening to you on Sunday morning, you were talking about that Oregon team. That was the one you were warning us, like, hey, guys, check this out.
Quack, quack.
Oregon's my team. So
they got something. They're so fast.
Yeah.
And they're not even fully healthy. So if they get some of these wide receivers back, it's going to be a nightmare for opposing DCs.
Before we let you out of here, what do you think with the playoff moving forward? I mean, what kind of changes do you think they end up making to this thing?
You're going to see a 16 model sooner rather than later. Mm. And I do think that they will limit the amount of group of five teams that can get in, because they're just, it's so difficult for them to be competitive. And I'm not against group of five teams that are in based off of, hey, we think they're one of, in a 16 model, hey, we think they're one of the best 16. You know, Cincinnati a couple years ago was legitimately a top team in the sport. And, you know, they couldn't do much in the playoff against Alabama, but they had earned the right to be there. And I'm fully with G5 teams earning the right to be there. But I think what you'll see moving forward is a format where you get a lot of Big Ten teams in, you get a lot of SEC teams in. Notre Dame's going to get in almost every single year unless they just completely take a number two all over themselves. And that's what we're just going to be. We're inching closer and closer, fellas, to the inevitable super conference. It feels like that's slowed at least a little bit because of the 12-team format, but we're getting to a point where there's just going to be a 30-team conference. If you can get in, get in, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Bring it. Just bring it. I can't wait for that. I'm not going to lie.
He's an LSU guy,
so he's got
the money, clearly.
I'm an LSU guy, and I'm all about that. I'm going to go get all your best players. But, I'm all for the super conference here. I really am.
I think it's going to be fun when it does come.
Yeah.
And I think that you can do some creative things with it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how creative they get with in terms of, you know, the soccer style. You can lose your way out of the conference.
Yeah, relegation.
Way back in.
Give me some relegation
here. I love some element of that. It'd be so much fun.
You're the best, man. Denton Day, Commanders pre and post on 106.7 The Fan. You can also catch him, host of College Football Overtime
SiriusXM College.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow. But if you take the L, I guess we won't be too upset about it.
Yeah, fellas, appreciate it. Do your best to enjoy whatever product we watch tomorrow.
We certainly will. Have a good one. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, my friend.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
There he goes. Denton Day. You can follow him at the Denton Day on X, formerly known as Twitter. He's awesome.
He's not hacked like
really,
me,
really
so
good
follow
dude.
Him,
no.
Yeah.
No, he is certainly not hacked.
He's really, I mean, seriously, his
awesome.
College football stuff is outstanding.
He's fantastic. I got to do stuff with him with BetMGM, and Denton's a great guy. I know he's been on The Fan After Dark.
Yeah.
Blake and Fred have had him on plenty of times before, so he does do an excellent job. All right, let's get a little football fix, shall we? Big facts, quarterback injury updates, and don't ask Max.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
About draft picks. All right, we got some big news in the high school football / college football world. We will get to here in just a moment. Segment brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. Of course, we will talk with Bobby Corella. DLLS Mavs will celebrate the greatness that is Cooper Flagg. But right now, let's have a little football fix.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Well, Riley Dodge, who has been the head coach at South Lake Carroll for, I believe, 8 years now, he's leaving the program, and he is headed up the road to SMU, as he is going to be an assistant coach and tight ends coach, as well as passing game coordinator. So he's going to be joining the staff there at SMU as he played for South Lake Carroll, of course, won 2 state titles, and then as a head coach through 8 years has gone 108-10. So my goodness, what a get for SMU.
Very similar to the path that Joey McGuire took.
Yeah.
Joey McGuire, very well at Cedar Hill, went to Baylor. Mm-hmm. Working as a tight ends coach
with Matt Rhule.
With Matt Rhule, and then got the opportunity to go from there from Waco to out to Tech.
Yeah, I mean South Lake Carroll gave him the head coaching job at 29 years old. He's been great there. They just have fallen short of winning a state championship, but they've made a state championship appearance. And I wonder where South Lake Carroll goes from here. I mean, that's going to be a tough person to replace. Outstanding coach there for the Dragons.
They'll find somebody, right?
I'm sure they will.
They go, who's the AD there? Is it like somebody we know? Like, is it like, it's the Carroll Independent School District, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? So I'm sure they've got somebody in mind. They'll probably hire within. That seems like a program that's kind of like.
Because I think it was Hal Wasson.
Well, Hal Wasson, he used to be the coach, right?
Yeah. And now, it was Riley Dodge.
Oh,
he was the executive director of athletics for Carroll ISD.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
they'll have to replace two people then.
Yeah, they'll have to find somebody else.
Okay.
I thought
it was Wasson. I thought that was the guy, and I didn't want to guess.
Yeah, I thought he might have left the head coaching job and then just done the AD thing, but wow. It was Steve Kiesler, and then they just appointed Riley Dodge back in 2024 to take over that role.
Wow.
So they'll be looking for a new head coach, but Riley Dodge, big get there for SMU. That'll be fun.
It will be. Hey, by the way, I asked somebody in the organization about our wide receiver, Flannoy, and the possibility. He's listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. And he's like everybody else who's listed as questionable has a shot. I think Flo is the longest of the long shots there.
Okay.
I think if they played on Sunday that it would be more of an opportunity, but it sounded like everybody else who was listed as questionable should probably go with Flannoy being the longest of the long shots.
Okay. So you had Quinnen Williams was one of the questionable guys. Yeah. That'd be good news for him, but man, that is a bummer for Flo, but after not practicing yesterday, it seemed like it would be a long shot for
him.
I
thought he was going to be listed as out myself, but it, you know, and I was thinking when it happened after the MRI, they got it back, and talking to folks over there, I was like, well, man, is he done, you know, with the two games? Mm-hmm. No, he's got a shot, you know, and I'm like, what? Mm. And so, yeah, but he is, so if you picked him up as a fantasy football guy, I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
But maybe don't play him?
Maybe consider some other opportunities, if you would. I hate giving fantasy advice. I never do. Never give fantasy advice.
Never do it.
But there's people that pick this guy up. You know what
they
I'm saying?
Do.
They pick him
100%.
Up.
100%.
Yep.
Getting a lot of texts like, maybe Jason Witten would go to Southlake. Maybe. I think his son's got one more year left.
Wow.
And then, they'd have to wait a year, I guess, to get Witten. I'm sure he wants to coach his son, unless the son goes with him to Southlake Carroll. I think he's one of the top linebacker recruits in the country right now. That'd be fascinating.
It sounds like down there in Baton Rouge, it sounds like that
they're interested?
Well, no. I think our head coach there,
Kiffin,
his son Knox Kiffin.
Oh, yeah?
I think he registered at University Lab there in Baton Rouge at the high school, so everybody's really fired up down there.
Getting his kid out?
Yeah, bringing his kid. His kid evidently is a really good quarterback.
I believe it. I mean, the son knew what he was doing. It is funny, though, when you listen to David Carr talk about him at Fresno with him.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin showed up to a practice, and he's just in, like, shorts and a T-shirt. He didn't even dress out. And they're like, Lane, what the hell are you doing? Why aren't you in your pads? And he goes, well, I know I'm not going to play. Like, I'm not going to practice. You're not going to give me any reps.
Yeah.
So why? So he says, Lane, go back inside and go get dressed. So he comes back out and he just has a ball hat on. And from that point on, he coached tight ends. And that's how his coaching career started.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
His dad was like, you know, Monty Kiffin, you know, one of the legendary coaches. I always tell that story about Monty. Like,
oh, the toots?
Well, Monty, yeah, that room, that bathroom over by the DallasCowboys.com over at the Valley Ranch. Yeah, Monty would go in there and
just blow that thing up.
Destroy that bathroom. Mm. But yeah, that bus ride after we got beat by Kansas City, and Monty had called the game. Monty was a little tired. Fell asleep on my shoulder.
Oh, that's sweet.
I was literally typing my game notes about the defense, and Monty's over there just like his head's on my shoulder.
Hey, if you had a question, though, you could have been like, hey, Monty.
He literally put his bag down and, you know, and he just kind of leaned and just fell right asleep on my shoulders. I'm typing my typing my game notes.
Well, we did get Quinnen Williams, first Cowboys defensive tackle to make the Pro Bowl since Jason Hatcher.
Wow.
You can believe it. That's been quite a run. But Vic Fangio, a.k.a. Dick, was really ticked off that Jordan Davis didn't make the Pro Bowl.
He hates the way that we vote these things, doesn't he?
He sure does. In fact, he wants to change the voting system.
Yeah.
Dick, I don't know how much credence you put in the Pro Bowl stuff, but I'm sure you must believe that Jordan Davis believed and should have been included.
He should have, for sure. I think they need to form a committee for the Pro Bowl. Get a couple retired coaches, a couple retired personnel guys, a couple retired players that will take pride in it, and they name it. Not all, everybody and their mothers got a vote.
Is that our guy Merrill Reese?
Merrill Reese asking the question. Oh. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? His guy doesn't make it, so now he wants to have a whole committee? A new voting process, not like the fans vote.
You got to stick up for your guys, right?
The popularity award is what the Pro Bowl really is. I mean, Travis Kelce's in it again. He got the most votes out of anybody.
Oh, he not even playing?
It's the Swifties.
The Swifties got him?
They went and voted him in. And tomorrow might be his last home game.
As a write-in, you said Travis? You said Travis. I thought you said the other
guy. No, Travis Kelce. Not Jason. Although I'm sure if Jason was on the ballot, he probably would have gotten in.
Yeah. I don't think he's wrong. I really don't. I mean, if you want it to mean a lot, and Hell, I don't know. I'm acting.
And there's bonuses. There's money attached to
this
stuff.
There's a lot of things involved here. And the thing about it is, though, is it the writers that vote these guys in? We got a fan vote.
It's the fan votes. I think that's it. I think it's just the fans. I think so. I think that there's another layer of it when it comes to Major League Baseball.
Didn't we used to like as players vote for this thing? I thought players used to be able to put a ballot in, and then there was like a third of it was the fan vote.
That could be.
Yeah. We don't know much about the old Pro Bowl because we really don't care much about the Pro Bowl.
No, it's become a joke, really. And it's a combination of votes from three groups: fans, current NFL players, and coaches.
There we go.
So
wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If it's players, coaches, that's two of the three.
Yeah.
He's kind of, I don't know, maybe a bad idea.
Yeah, I think Dick's just really upset here, and I get it. But, dude. Sorry, your guy didn't get in.
Dick's upset.
Yep. Surprise, surprise. He's upset about something. Yep. Joe Burrow, according to Jeremy Fowler, has not given any indication that he wants out of Cincinnati.
Mm.
So we'll wait and see. Josh Allen, hope is he can play with that foot against the Eagles, and I need him to play. He says he feels good. He feels ready to go. I need you to play. Not only do I want you to beat the Eagles, I need to beat Carter Freeman in a fantasy championship.
So you have him as your quarterback?
He's my quarterback. He's my guy. So I need you, Josh. I need you to have about 17 touchdowns.
Who's your backup plan?
I don't have one right now.
You don't?
No, I don't have a backup quarterback. I'm going to have to hit the waiver wire. Josh has just been my dude. I haven't needed a backup quarterback.
Josh Johnson, your guy, maybe?
Should I just pick? I have to play him tomorrow because I wouldn't have a choice.
That would be crazy if you picked Josh Johnson.
I would not do that.
Goes for like 315, four tutties, no interceptions.
If he does, I'm going to be kicking myself because that would have been a hell of a pickup. I mean, Justin Herbert's was awesome last week.
Can I ask a fantasy question of you?
Fantasy away.
What is the most points you've ever had sit on the bench?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I think I had a wide receiver that went absolutely off and I chose to sit him 1 week. It might have been like a Devontae Adams. Like when he had like a 2-touchdown, 10-catch game with the Rams or something like that in a league this year. I think that's so far. There might have been one that was worse than that, but I think for sure that's one that comes to mind, Devontae Adams. But I think
How often does that happen where there's a 40 or 50-point sit?
Not a ton. I think usually it's like I'm not sure if the guy's going to play, and it's a late-game designation, and I don't want to risk it, so I play somebody else, and then he ends up being active, and he goes out and crushes it. Yeah. And you're just thinking to yourself, what the hell? That stinks. Otherwise, quarterbacks sometimes will do it. If you have two quarterbacks and you're kind of deciding which one, maybe the one doesn't play well, the other one will end up having a great year.
Have you ever lost a game by like a point something?
Oh, it's happened this year. Yeah.
Really?
I think I beat Sean by like a 0.6 in the regular season.
Oh, jeez.
And then I lost a game by like 0.4 this year. I tied a game this year to a buddy of mine, Tim, and then the tiebreaker was bench points. And my bench was on a bye, so I didn't win. He ended up getting the dub. So that stunk. That was not fun for me. Speaking of draft picks, and I know we've had this conversation, like Dak's playing, he wants to play. Well, don't ask Max Crosby about draft
picks. No, don't ask him about it.
Maxie Crosby? He's speaking honestly, given his perspective.
When you hear him talk about the number one pick being on the line?
Yeah, I don't give a about the pick. Like, to be honest, I don't play for that. My job. My job is to be the best defensive end in the world, and that's what I focus on every day. And being a great leader, and being an influence, and being that guy on a consistent basis for my team. So, yeah, that's their job. That's the front office, the coaches. They do that, but that's got nothing to do with me. You know, I've learned that lesson in the past. I'm not trying to. You can't control everything, and that's not my job description. My job is to be the best in the world at what I do, and that's wrecking the game.
He doesn't give a damn about your picks. He wants to go out there and have a 17-sack game.
Yeah.
Be the best defensive end in the world, and I love it. And you know what? He's not alone. Every single NFL player has that perspective for the most part.
I've talked about this a bunch, is that when you're in that room, you really want to win these games. I mean, even when we were 5-11, those horrible 3 years,
Yeah, you want to win.
I would have done crazy things just to get a win. It meant that much. And so the media side of me wants to have the best draft pick. The player personnel guy is reminded of how important this really is.
I think it's hard for some fans. Like it's hard to wrap their brain around. What? Why? You got to have the big picture. These players don't care, man. They might not be here for that draft pick.
I'm just telling you, man, if guys and gals had the chance to sit in those chairs and
want to win,
and
the
fly home,
that puts into that.
You absolutely, you lose a game, you feel like your whole week was just wasted. Everything you did was just wasted. So if they're going to play hard for these next two to try and get this thing 8-8-1, I totally understand it. If they end up not playing, not getting this done, I have no problem with that either.
Yeah. Hey, we get it.
No problem. Yep.
We get it. All right, we'll talk more football coming up at the top of the hour. Let's party with Bobby Corella, DLS Mavs. That's next in the Nation.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The night is darkest just before the dawn, and I assure you, the dawn is coming, and it might be here in the form of one Cooper Flag to rescue us from sadness as we welcome in our buddy Bobby Corella, DLS Mavs. And Bobby, goodness gracious, we've been down bad, brother. But what Cooper Flag is doing right now, I feel like I'm a phoenix rising from the ashes. My hopes, they're starting to come back into my being. How are you, man, and how damn good is Cooper Flag?
Dude, I love that energy. It's 80 degrees and sunny outside. Like, it is clear. Coop is him, and he has reinvigorated the entire Metroplex. I mean, you know, last night, they're going up against Jokic, who's probably the best player alive. AD is on Cooper Flagg's team. AD is one of the best players of all time. Jamal Murray is going to be an all-star this year, and none of those dudes was the best player on the floor. The best player on the floor was a 19-year-old rookie. It is unreal how good he is. And it's not just like at one thing. He doesn't just have one trick or one go-to move or one strength. He can do everything. Go right, go left, pull up, face up, shoot the three ball last night. He was playing great defense. He's a monster in transition. Like, he is the real deal in every single way. And it's really tough to contain my excitement about him, man, because he is unbelievable.
Bobby, you know me, the former scout, is always curious, like, what people said about him. Such high praise, first overall pick, talking about all these things. Is there something about his game that they didn't talk about before he got drafted that you're seeing now that translates even better?
Yes, he's a much more dynamic offensive player than I thought that he would be right out of the gate. And part of that is based on his role on the team now, as opposed to what we saw earlier in the season.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing point guard, making decisions. There wasn't a lot of space, and so it was kind of clunky for him for a while. But you know, now he's playing off the ball, catching it in more advantageous positions where he can just make a move and go. He doesn't have to think. He can just go out and play. And also, AD's playing the five, so there's a lot more shooting and space on the floor for him to work with. But if you go back and watch him in college, you know, he would do some of this same stuff. He uses his size well. He uses his body well. He can ward off defenders. But at Duke, you know, he'd kind of do spin moves to the basket a lot. He'd pick up his dribble a lot in weird positions. It just kind of looked like he didn't realize that he's just way bigger and stronger and more athletic than everyone else. So he can just turn the corner and go, and no one's going to stop him. And we're seeing him now do that multiple times a game. I mean, last night he had a couple nasty dunks on guys that are just as big as him. And so I think he's starting to get a little more aggressive. And, you know, in college, he did average 19 a game or whatever. I mean, he was the Naismith Player of the Year. He's a great player. But, you know, I just didn't see him being able to take a leap to where he could pretty regularly and kind of easily get to 25 points in an NBA game. I thought he'd be a good defender right out of the gate, but I did not think that he had the ability and the desire to score this much this early in his career.
Bobby, is this God-given talent, or is this guy getting coached up on a different level?
That's a good question because, you know, on the Peacock broadcast last night, you know, Vince Carter, who I have a ton of respect for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and Melo, who's one of the best scorers at the kind of that tweener forward position that Coop plays of all time, they were both saying that, okay, maybe him playing point guard early in the year is helping him because it looks like the game is slowing down.
Mm.
I'm not sure that I agree with that. Like, I'm not going to say that, you know, Jason Kidd sucks, but I really didn't like that J. Kidd threw him into that spot right out of the gate because this team just had a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, they have a lot of really good players on this team. And so it did feel like Coop was thinking and not playing, but I have to agree with those guys. It does look like the game is slowing down. So, you know, maybe those added reps did help. Maybe his supercomputer in his brain is just that good and he didn't even need the reps to begin with. But, I mean, the game just looks way easier for him than it did even 2 or 3 weeks ago, and certainly than it did 2 or 3 months ago, and even more so than it did a year ago today. So, I mean, if he keeps growing at this pace, then, I mean, we're going to be talking about not just an all-star caliber player, but like an all-NBA caliber player very, very soon.
This is the weird theory I have. Do you think J. Kidd threw him out there knowing he was going to fail and struggle just to maybe let him get his nose bloodied a little bit and have to fight through some things to get him to this point?
He said he wanted to make him uncomfortable, Bobby.
He did say that that's what he wanted to do. You know, he said he wants to make him uncomfortable to see how he responds.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's playing 5D chess.
I kind of think he is. I think he knew that he was probably going to go out there and fail as a point guard, but it was going to be the toughest thing that he was going to have to do, and he was going to have to fight through that. That's how much I believe in Kidd. That maybe that he's. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other theory, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this one. The other theory that some fans think is that J. Kidd put him at point guard knowing that the team would lose so that they could kind of move on from the storm that was raging for about 10 months. I don't know.
That's five level chess right there too.
He might have known something there.
Yeah. But no, to me, this seems like that he knew, like, okay, I'm going to put this kid in a position where he was going to struggle. And it wasn't going to be easy, and he's going to have to fight his way. And then they kind of figured out some things, but maybe that getting his nose bloody, like I said, has got him to this point, you know, to where now he's playing game at a different level.
There could be something to that, you know. I think right now,
just tell me I'm full of crap, Bobby. It's okay. It's Christmas.
Full of crap at all. I don't think you're full of crap at all. I mean, I think there could be something there. You know, right now, he's getting the ball in a lot more simplified positions than he was earlier. But he is being like kind of the head of the offense in crunch time situations.
He sure is.
And you know, so if he wouldn't have played point guard early in the year, maybe he wouldn't have felt as comfortable. Yeah.
Good point.
We're going to give you the ball and clear out, and you're going to have to make something happen.
Good point.
But it could be that he would have been ready for that anyway. Like, I just don't know what to believe with this guy, because every single time I see him play, I see him do something that he hasn't done before.
It's unbelievable, and I know like Wendy was talking about the parallels of him and LeBron's first years, and it's nuts. I mean, it really is the offensive game. I agree with you 100%. How quickly he's just picked this up, and also the three ball now seems to be working for him. It's unreal. Bobby Corello with the show on the Fan, they're 6-4 in their last 10. They have wins over Detroit and now Denver. They're 12-19. They're right on the cusp there of the play-in. Kyrie, I don't know if you have more information on when they're going to get him back, but we've kind of been talking team tank this entire time. All of a sudden, are we looking at this team as a playoff team?
Man, that is the raging debate among anyone that watches this team, whether you're media or fan or hater. You know, Kyrie, Mark Stein has sworn that, you know, it's more like February than January for Kyrie, but who even knows? You know, he's not on the court right now in any real sort of substantial capacity, which leads me to believe it's still a ways away until he comes back. But I think the real X factor here is, first off, how good is Coop? Like, is he going to be a 25-point-per-game player for the rest of the season? Because if so, then the schedule's changing. But unfortunately, the reality is, I mean, AD does get hurt a lot. And so when he's healthy, you know, he's playing great. His last six games, oh my God. I mean, he's averaging like 25, 12, 2-3 blocks, 2-3 steals. Like, he has been an absolute beast. When he's on the floor, and if Coop is playing like this and AD's playing like this, they're going to be really tough to beat no matter who you are. But if one of them goes out, then it's going to be right back to losing. And, you know, as you look forward, the Mavs have a really good opportunity in about 6 months to draft another stud that can be just as good as Coop or in that stratosphere that's also 19. And like, man, I do not believe that being the A seed and playing OKC in the first round is worth missing out on a chance at the number one pick or the number two or three or four pick. Maybe there are Mavs fans that would feel, no, getting playoff experience for Coop is really important. Mm-hmm. Or if you can try and move up to seventh, that way you avoid OKC and then you see what happens, that's worth it. But I don't see any scenario where a playoff experience is worth missing out on this draft. I just think it's way, way, way too valuable an opportunity to draft another 19-year-old stud to be Coop's running mate for the next 10 years. But I realize I'm not, you know, that might not even be the majority opinion at this point. Vibes are good. The team looks great. You know, a lot of people just want to check ball and go.
Bobby, so you sound like you're sell high guy right now. You're selling high with maybe something with Davis. Is that kind of am I reading you right on this one? The fact that he's playing well and that kind of thing, or where are we at on that?
If someone came through with a good offer, yes. But all the reporting, you know, especially from Stein, who's, I mean, for my money,
he's wired. You guys are wired, no question.
Yeah, but Stein says that teams are just either lowballing or just not interested until they get a little more data. And if that's the case, you know, if teams are just offering, you know, 5 second round picks and some expiring money, no, I'm not interested in doing that. You know, I would rather go into the summer with AD.
Yeah, see, to me, if I'm a team,
they're not going to trade him if they're not getting
something. That's what I'm saying. I'm worried if he keeps playing well, they might not move him. You know, so I mean, that's I would, if I was a team that was interested in him. What, the Bulls, right? Weren't the Bulls a team?
Bulls, Toronto.
Okay, one of these teams, if he keeps playing well and they keep having these nights where they're beating Denver and people like that, maybe the Mavs say, well, we're not going to trade the guy. And now you miss out an opportunity to get a guy. I think some teams are going to have to come with some offers if they're going to want to get this done.
Yeah, and that's the other issue, right, is that, you know, a team like Chicago or Miami –
yeah.
You know, I think Toronto is kind of having a dream season, and it honestly, they might not even care if they start losing, but Chicago and Miami, they can't say the same thing.
Right.
You know, if it becomes February, obviously the deadline is February 5th or whatever, but if it's like late January and the Bulls are in 10th or 11th place again for the 35th year in a row, maybe they're like, dude, we just have to do it. Mavs, what do you want? Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
You know, deadlines make deals, but that's another, month and a half away. The Mavs could win a whole lot more games.
Damn right they could.
Even if they trade AD, they could still be out of the lottery, you know? Yeah.
Bobby, what are your expectations for tomorrow before we let you out of here?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I look at Golden State's roster, and I don't see a single guy that can guard Coop. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a freak, and Draymond is very physical, but I think Coop could have his way with them. The Warriors need an interior presence. AD might dominate, but I think the big question for the Mavs is who the heck on their roster can guard Steph Curry a single time? If they can figure it out and crack that code, I think they can win. But, I mean, there's no Derrick Jones on this team or Dorian Finney-Smith or any of those guys
yeah.
who chase Steph around screens. So I'm a little worried about Steph.
Yeah, Bobby, the one thing I learned watching basketball with you during the pandemic, sitting up there and stuff, was that watching Curry play a basketball game is tiring.
Yeah.
Tiring.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. He's running all over the – he doesn't stop.
Yeah. And all five guys on defense need to worry about that too. But you're also guarding a guy with the ball. Or maybe you're guarding Jimmy Butler on the other side of the floor. Like, it is really, really tough, man. And I don't know if the Mavs have the defensive personnel to stop Steph. But I don't think the Warriors can stop the Mavs either. So it could be a really high-scoring, entertaining game.
Let's go bucket for bucket. Let's make it happen. Christmas Day basketball. We love it. Thank you so much, bro. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
There he is, Bobby Carella, DLLS Mavs. They do awesome work
there. They do a great job.
All our guys, KG, of course, Bobby. You mentioned Stein. They're all crushing it.
Old
Tim
school
Cato.
Guy. Yeah.
They're awesome. All right, let's do a little finest. The best Christmas Day performances of all time and the holiday day game that got – Jesus. The holiday day game guide. Gosh, that was a mouthful. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.